The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Yep, it's this weekend, my daughter's wedding. I got this nice note. And you know what? I'm talking about my daughter's wedding, but really, I'm talking to you if you're a parent or you're going to be someday on this. Been talking about how I'll get emotional. This guy said, hey, I listen to your show all the time. It's really nice. But he said, his name's Dan. He said, my daughter's only 8 years old, and I totally know what you're talking about. Her name's Addison. I've been struggling with the realization that she's already eight. She was just a toddler yesterday. She was daddy's little girl. And now she's a little girl that can do stuff by herself and sits alone to watch a show or play by herself. I'm blown away by how fast this is going. She'll be nine before the year is out. And so I get it. You know what? And I got emotional reading his note because I'm like, that's the problem. It's like, it's the growing. It's the time passing. But I was telling him one good thing out of that is that you become very intentional. If you're one of these parents that's super aware of that, you become very intentional about the days that you have.
Yeah.
Same thing with your nieces.
Yeah.
Like, you're aware, man.
Yeah.
They're like rocket ships blasting off, and they're going to leave our orbit.
Right.
But that helps you to realize it.
Take every moment I can.
Yeah, and actually use the days that you have. They're limited.
Yeah.
It doesn't just roll on forever. So, like, if that memory is going to happen, we'll have to go do that thing. In these troubled times when people are starting to freak out about different things, different scenarios are playing out in people's minds, it is a great chance to be a peacemaker. The peacemaker isn't just somebody who, like, jumps into a war situation or talks down two sides, and it's not like the absence of conflict. Peace is a much bigger concept than that, like in the Bible. If people aren't at peace, and you bring peace because you're not anxious, you're not freaking out, you're going to be okay. You become somebody people want to be around. You're actually making peace in their heart, too. And this is a great opportunity for that. Huge chance to be somebody who makes peace for other people. Today is the International Day of Awesomeness. This puts me in a real bind. If you've listened to this show for very long, you know I don't do international or national days of. I do the opposite that day.
Right.
Not gonna be bossed around. Okay. International Day of Awesomeness. It's a trap.
Why?
Because if I do my normal thing, which is to reject the International Day,
that's kind of awesome. Yeah, sure.
So I'm participating. By not participating, they've actually, I don't know a way out of this.
It seems as if the cabal that you believe exists with these national days has painted you in a corner.
They're smart. And I never said they weren't smart.
They're tricky.
This was really smart. We are in a time of stress. There is no doubt about that. People are very stressed out, obviously, about coronavirus. Of course, we're kind of anxiety-ridden anyway as a culture, but this is a great chance. We were talking about how individually you can kind of find out who you are when you're stressed. Like, things are happening to you, how you respond really tells you about what's really going on. I think it's probably true of our whole culture. I was thinking about this. Like, we have this culture that's all about, you know, what do I want to buy? Or everything becomes a consumer choice. Everything becomes my choice of self-expression or whatever. How does that work when we encounter suffering? It's a fair question, right? And if it doesn't work very well, what does it tell us about how true this is? And so we find out a lot. And hopefully people can go through something like this and say, hey, you know what? My worldview, it doesn't actually work. Ladies like guys that have these cool hobbies. I just found this list. It's titled Masculine Manliest Hobbies. That's it.
Oh, let's see.
Woodworking. Classic car restoration. No, I can see where this is going. And
it's not going down. It's not your list.
I wonder if I have anything on this list.
Okay.
Seriously, I'm actually going to wonder.
All right.
0 for 2 so far. Woodworking, classic car restoration, metalworking, marksmanship, camping, hunting, fishing, wood carving, model building. I'm like 0 for 12. Leatherworking, bowling, archery, martial arts. I'm 0 for 15. Pool billiards, mountaineering, 0 for 17. Cooking, blacksmithing, flying, paintball. And the last one is chess.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Brant Hanson has made the list.
What a man.
It was close there.
What a man. Thank you. We're talking about all the headlines, of course, about the virus and stuff that people are talking about. Maybe this is the time you'll look back on this time and go, this is when I figured out I'm actually not that anxious of a person. Mm-hmm. You know, we can change. Like, so maybe you've been kind of anxiety ridden in your life, but we do grow up, we do change. And maybe this is the time where you like have this seminal moment in life where you're like, I can handle this. I can be a non-anxious voice. I don't have to be, you know, up and down with every headline or something. I can actually be a blessing to other people. Let me think about them. Maybe this is it. It's a good thing. Change can be a wonderful thing, and we're not stuck being the same way. Thank you again to our awesome friends at Fellowship Home Loans. We really like these guys a lot. The truth is, even though the circumstances aren't awesome, the interest rates are continue to go down.
I know. I read an article about that. Like, people are literally scrambling to refinance.
Yeah, it saves you so much money. So talk to these guys about it. They're fantastic. Just we both have had 5-star experiences getting loans from them. So we really do believe in them, and they are, you know, they're coming from the same place we are. So they support our show and stuff like that. So we love that. Fellowship Home Loans, you talk to Mike or Brian, but their phone number is 800-804-SAVE. And if you're buying a house or you own one, you got to talk to them about refinancing or getting a mortgage with this interest rate is crazy low. So great time to do it. 800-804-SAVE. And I think you'll find they're awesome. So we've been talking about being a non-anxious voice because we need that. Like, think in your neighborhood, your network of people, your workplace or school, like, you're not the one who's anxious. People are desperate for that. What can happen though is people hear us talking about it and they're like, hey, are you, you know, making light of this situation? You're not taking it as seriously. No. I'm saying, even if it's a worst case scenario, still be the non-anxious voice. Even, especially then, still be that person, because this isn't where your security comes from anyway, not just the circumstances of the day. This is the wonderful thing about, we use language like, I gave my life to Christ, I gave my life to God. Like, if you've done that, well, you're in a uniquely, you know, positive place to be able to go, I don't have to be freaking out. A great question we got from a guy named Jake. He said, hey, Brant, I've been meaning to ask this question since listening to your podcast. I go to college and I also work there. I have some friends I made who are not believers. I've brought up my belief and stuff about going to church before, but it doesn't seem to get far. What would be you and Sherry's number one tip for opening up about Jesus? Thank you for the show and podcast. It's really nice. And for reading the listener emails. I pray for you and Sherry. That's super nice.
That's sweet.
Here'd be my number one tip. And Sherry can add some if you want. Be so for these people that they just can't help but know it. Like, that you're just so for them, regardless of what decisions they make, regardless, you're just on their side. And when you talk about God, it's about you. So it's like, you can be very free about it. Like, just describing, like, oh, I was praying yesterday and this happened. Or whatever. Like, if you're for them and you're not saying you need to pray, but you're describing your own situation, you're for them, that relationship will help them lean in. It's so important. I see that with Jesus himself. He doesn't coerce anybody. Of course, he says things, he uses words too, but there's this ability to let people walk away, but also he's so strongly for them. We got a note from Matt, and it says, my 10-year-old this evening asked, Mommy, did you know there are more stars in the sky than grains of sand on the earth? And my wife said, no, I didn't. Where did you hear that? On the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, he said.
All right. We're hitting our target demographic there, I see.
10-year-old boys just have a sweet spot for my style of communication. And it proves, too, I've been doing this shock jock thing where it's clean, but I share shocking information.
Yes.
And the idea is you buzz about it.
Right.
And then it spreads the word about the show. And
so the 10-year-olds are buzzing.
Nailed it. Thank you, sir, for proving this works. Yo, what's going on? We're on the very cool Dilemma Street. What's up? This is where we talk about your dilemmas and stuff. Brant@BrantHanson.com is the email address. If you want to roll up here on Dilemma Street. That's how they talk.
It is?
Cool people, right? No?
I've never heard any cool people talk like that.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, how do you sidle up? How do you, I mean, you come up. How do you coolly come up? You don't roll up?
No.
What do you do? You You do something. Tell me.
Walk up.
Why won't you tell me? You know what it is. You just don't want me saying it. I know what's going on.
Just stick with roll.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome to Dilemma Street. Today, Sherry and I are hanging out, and this is the dilemma from Ezekiel. Drop me a note. I like this guy. Let me say that. And also, let me say, I don't think I'm going to be much help.
Oh, boy.
Of course, we're not professional counselors anyway.
Yep, that's the boulevard that crosses.
Yeah. Not professional counseling boulevard. This is Good Day, Brant Hansen. Let me just cut straight to the point. I love your podcast. I have listened to every episode past 500, and I have enjoyed them. Mm. What I am here to ask is, how did you go through the trials of not having, like, a few girlfriends? For you said that your first girlfriend is the wife you have now. And I would like some advice on how to get through the temptations of getting a girlfriend, because I have never had one, and I think I would like to wait till I find the right female and become her boyfriend, and then hopefully that's the girl I get married to. Mm-hmm. Sincerely, and thank you.
That's so sweet.
It is. I have a lot of respect for you, let me say that. Yeah. I don't know how old you are. I'm guessing you're a young man. And I don't have much, in terms of advice. All I can do is tell you, I respect you a lot. I didn't know how to handle this. I didn't have a plan. We became friends, and then I was very blunt and just told her I loved her. And we've talked about that story before. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a plan there. And I do think it worked out for the best. I do think it was great. So I think this was wonderful. I would say this, but this gets said to single people all the time, so mm-hmm. I realize, but it's still true. Like, pray about this. I ask God for something. Tell him, this is a desire I have. Mm-hmm. If it's something that you're really focused on, be really honest with him about that, and be persistent. Doesn't mean the answer is yes. Doesn't mean you need to get married. Doesn't mean you need to get a girlfriend, but I do think that's biblical, right? Would mm-hmm. you say that as a single person?
I would, especially
if somebody
for
wants
a man.
That.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think it'd be a really good idea, to the extent that you can, be a part of something busy with other guys. Mm. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if you're into athletics. I don't know if you're into books. I don't know if you're like your church group, if there's some niche. Now that can be a problem too, because it's kind of hard to find for some people.
Yeah.
Living with a bunch of guys is a great idea. If you have a living arrangement, somebody has a house and there's six guys that live there, that can be incredibly healthy. Mm. And I really recommend it.
Why?
Because when we're left in our own minds, it's not good for us. Mm-hmm. We get very unhealthy. Mm. A lot of different ways. We start to collapse inwardly. Our judgment becomes off. We'll get into habits and things that if we weren't in private, we wouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And then that throws off our judgment. We become different, bitter people. Mm. So I think it's really good to stay busy too. And also so that you don't feel quite the crying need for this one person to come along and fix everything. Mm-hmm. You've got a niche, a social network. You've got other things going on. It's just really healthy. There is the scripture, it's not good for a man to be alone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to have a wife, mm-hmm. but it isn't good to be alone. So, and then third thing I want to get back to maybe before we started here is, please know that as an older man, the way you have written this, I have a lot of respect for you, because you want to do the right thing, and you don't want to mistreat women. You don't want to use women mm-hmm. For your own purposes. That, to me, is baseline what it means to be a man. But honestly, it's remarkable.
It's respectable.
It's respectable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And for what it's worth, if you had a guy next to you, as an older guy, I guess you respect me and Sherry because you listen to our podcast. So here you got a guy that you presumably respect telling you, Ezekiel, that got a lot of respect for you. So keep it up and stay strong. And of course, you know that ultimately God is going to meet all of our desires. Everything that's a good desire, he will meet. But I don't know how long that is. Some people it's going to be short, and then they find new problems, new issues. But for you, I don't know what your timeline is. Mm. But I do know that he's good. So, yeah, I respect you. So I hope, again, it's not great advice, but...
Well, it was good advice. Very good.
All right. Well, man, good. I'm glad to hear that from single. You have anything else you would have as a single person or
woman?
No,
the busy thing was the one I was going to say. So that's very good. Is to be busy with life, building a life, enjoying your life, helping other people.
And that's true for everybody.
It's true for everybody. And tomorrow is not promised. I know it's maybe a little morbid, but tomorrow is not promised. I mean, deferring everything until you get whatever that is,
right,
is not smart.
Yeah.
And I know, speaking as a single woman, a guy who has built something, who is living, who has a community around him already, that's very attractive.
Yeah, that's really cool. Great point.
Yeah.
Let me add one last thing.
Uh-huh.
How to say? Well, this is an adult topic coming up.
Got danger, kids danger, listening. Kids. Clear all the kids from Dilemma Street.
But what?
They're out here playing ball.
Put
and
your
everything.
Jump ropes down. No more hopscotch.
Run.
How to say? Well, I'll try to put it as academic fashion as possible, or at least, you know, indirect.
Okay.
But like a life where you're choosing not to be the way the rest of the culture is,
mm-hmm,
physically with people.
Mm-hmm.
We've made this out to be the be-all, end-all. Mm-hmm. Our culture has.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, and I've heard writers point this out, you could get on the subway in the morning and you would think the way our culture makes this into everything that you would be able to tell immediately who's active last night,
mm-hmm,
you know, who's like, because it makes such a big difference.
Right.
It's just a big, I remember watching the movie Big years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Oh, and how he changes.
Yeah. It's just
yeah,
like he comes in the next day and
yeah,
he's literally skipping. It's
yeah,
just like, but that's not reality. That just shows how that's not reality.
Right.
So on one hand, it's beautiful, profound, poetic. It's analogous to some deep truths of the universe. Like there's all of that poetry that's there. It's life creating, all of that stuff. And on the other, it's not what the culture makes it out to be, that it's just the end all be all. It's just not. And I'm a married guy. And how many married people do you know that would tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just, so our culture keeps the pretense up,
mm-hmm,
but as a result, there's all these things that need to happen, including tremendous amounts of medication,
mm-hmm,
tremendous amounts of fake stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like trying to keep this machine going, mm-hmm, where the desire is constantly stoked because we're hoping that this will meet this divine need.
Yeah.
But it won't.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to hear that, for you to say that, even in church culture, because we have adopted that mindset and we've just put the word marriage on it.
Totally. Absolutely. That is the be all end all.
Yeah.
And it's just, it sounds almost revolutionary to say it. It's not. It's not. Remember, it's a signpost. It has so much power because it's a signpost that points to something else.
Yeah, that's why Paul was encouraging people to stay single. And he almost seems confused when he's saying, now you know that this is a mystery that's been revealed, that it's actually this.
This is
a shadow of this.
Yes.
So why do you need that?
And that's in a culture that even way more valued marriage.
Right,
because
right,
you didn't have any standing
right,
without family. Family's
right,
everything.
Right.
And for him to come along and say it was really shocking,
mm-hmm,
he just did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how strongly he felt about that. Again, mm-hmm, all of this, the power of it, the desire, the drive, all of that is totally understandable and good. There's nothing dirty about that.
Right.
But it is a signpost to something that if we're faithful, it points to something even better. So just a reminder of that, for what it's worth. I know it's hard. I get it. But maybe just a reminder.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.